Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
What's up, man?
I just wish our dancing made noise so people could hear us dance.
Our interpretive dancing.
Like if we started to wear bells and things on our wrists, would that help?
And then you'd know every single movement.
Yeah.
That isn't that like a harem dancer?
Yeah.
We should do that.
Every idea I have eventually involves me taking my shirt off.
Uh-huh. That's so weird how we always get to that point.
I will be your extra large belly dancer this evening.
The way he moves, though, you can hear it.
Ding, you can ding. Hear him coming.
Ding, ding.
It's like the corduroy pants, but on my wrists.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Or you just wear corduroy everywhere. There you go. Oh, I haven't worn a good pair of corduroys in a while.
It's been a minute since I've owned some corduroys.
Yeah. Now I kind of want some.
Do you?
Just for...
I don't know, though. This room has a lot of static, has a lot of electricity in it. Let's start with that.
Yes.
Let alone the static
part. And the static we would generate with those corduroys. Could be dangerous. It could be very dangerous.
We could probably power a small community with the right amount of people wearing corduroy.
With these two pairs of thighs? You know we could. Corduroy plus these thighs just...
Corduroy plus thighs equals more and low-cost energy.
You know what? Yeah. Forget wind. Forget solar.
Corduroy's where it's at. Hey, Mid-American.
Call us.
Are you guys studying the power of corduroy? Art, tell us, is that the next frontier?
Just saying, it's energy? An idea.
Because that comes from cotton.
Yeah.
Right? It's just the design of the pant.
Uh-huh. And we got to make sure that they stay popular. You know, fashion is always cyclical.
That's going to be the harder part.
Yeah.
Is keeping them in style.
Yeah. You guys, we have to wear corduroys.
All right.
For the energy they generate.
You work on that part.
Okay.
I'll get to work on the old energy part.
Okay, you do that end. I'll do this end. We got this.
Yeah, we do.
We're going to generate so much energy.
That's teamwork, man.
Ah, all jazzed up. I'm all excited now.
Good.
Thank you. And 90s are back. Like, everybody is so nostalgic.
Everything I saw on the ice last night for ice dancing, is that what I watched?
Yes.
Ice was dancing. 90s.
90s themed. Taylor Swift's new Opalite music video has a hardcore 90s theme to it. It's like the nostalgia is there and we are just loving it. But you know what? As somebody put together, not everything was perfect in the 90s. There were some things that maybe...
I lived through all of them.
We've approved upon.
I lived through every single 90. 90, what? 91, 92.
What was something that was not great about the 90s?
I think political divide started in the 90s, if you really wanted to dig into it.
The beginning of it?
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Where basically people are like, I'm just going to say no. Like, there was just the start of lack of political cooperation could probably be traced back to the 90s.
Probably.
Yeah.
Most likely.
I go with that. Because you started to have, just conservative talk radio. Right? Because if you go back...
But it was new,
If you go back to Fox News was news. Mm-hmm. In 9/11, everybody was glad they had Fox News. And then they started to find that they had a foothold in a particular audience, right?
Yeah.
I think you can trace that back to the 90s. I would start with that. There was some weird fashion back then.
Yeah, not everything was perfect. You know, we had a lot of, bright colors and...
It made sense then that you look back, what was I thinking?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like cigarette smoke, that was more prevalent.
Oh, you can smoke anywhere.
When I smell it now, I'm like, what's going on?
I think the 90s were the evolution of no smoking on planes.
Yeah.
Bars in Iowa. I think the smoking law had to be in the 90s or early 2000s it passed.
All of the technology that we just, take for granted today was just things were very new. Like the family computer.
There wasn't a... Your phone was not a computer in 1991.
No.
It maybe was doing some very basic text messaging. Then you had BlackBerry, and then it kind of exploded from there.
And all of that stuff was expensive, too, and you better not break
it. Oh, gosh, yeah.
Take good care of your tech.
A personal computer was a small fortune. Yes.
Not everything was perfect.
No. We could accept that.
Just kind of painting it with some reality here.
Except the music was great.
Dang
and then it.
It
made for very good ice dancing last night. So
it really did.
You got to take the good and the bad.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
I got a man asking a woman question.
Yeah. What do you need?
I got a husband after asking a wife question.
Sure.
Do you want us to be honest? Or depends. Do not?
What's the topic? Is it, how's my hair?
No, it was, how was dinner last night? And oh. I told the truth.
No! No, at least soften the blow. She spent time and effort making something, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what was it?
Every once in a while, we are reminded that we have an Instapot.
Yeah.
It's usually when we boil eggs. And then since it's already down from the highest counter, cabinet we have.
Yeah.
She made kind of a bourbon brown sugar chicken with rice. It was okay. That's what I said.
And that's what you said?
She said, you like it? I'm like,
it's fine.
It's okay. I said it was a little too saucy.
And how did she take that?
We didn't talk much for about the next 10 minutes.
That's weird.
But I told the truth.
Nope. That's not bad. Not bad.
But I don't want her to make it again.
Not bad. Please don't make it again.
That's why I'm like, I gotta just come clean.
I know, but oh.
Then she went downstairs, put clothes away, and never came back upstairs.
I was really slamming doors and cabinets. It was weird. Yeah, that's just, it's dicey. Every time I put, and I know too, like if I make something and I try it, and I'm like, this is not for me. I have to not like it first before anybody else can criticize
it. It was good. You know, the other problem is, and this is just, I hope it's human nature, not just me, but as you get older, you get a little more set and you're like, I like that white rice. I don't like that white rice.
Right.
Like, all right. And they're like, the chicken's fine. Mm-hmm. The sauce was a little, I don't know.
Chicken is a very contentious
sugary
issue at our house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're okay. I would just, wanted to get your.
He thinks they're okay.
Just get your take on it.
I'm going to text Shannon and make sure she's okay.
Fair enough. Please do. Please check in on her.
Okay. I feel rotten because how many times have I gone through, you got into February and it's Girl Scout cookie season, right?
Yeah.
I did this with Audrey. Now I'm here with Cora and we've done a couple of rounds of cookie season and I don't know when, I don't know how, but I lost her paper cookie order form.
The order sheet?
The whole sheet that tells you every single cookie that we carry and would you like some and how much is each box. I can't find it in our house. Shame on me. Sometimes in an effort to be tidy, I throw things away.
Oh, no. Is the best bet it got thrown away?
I almost guarantee it, man. I almost guarantee it.
Because you don't switch purses like Shannon switches purses. So I'm guessing it's not like it's in a bag.
Nope.
You don't carry a portfolio.
I mean, I could check my car. I didn't check the car.
I checked the car.
Okay, but it's not the
end
of the
world. Did you check your daughter? Does she have it?
Wait a second. You know what? As bad as my purse is, that school backpack?
Aha!
It could be in there.
Aha!
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
This mystery with Savannah Guthrie's missing mother just keeps continuing on.
This came up during my workout and my trainer has just fun perspectives. She's like, of course it's tragic. And of course America is fascinated because it's true crime.
It's missing.
Can you imagine though, the number of people who are reaching out to the police trying to offer to help because they know crime now?
Right. Cause right? I've listened to a couple of podcasts and I think that I can help with it.
I think I can help you guys.
Right.
Have you checked those poor authorities?
I know.
Have to go through actual tips, not tips, and then everyone else who knows better.
Right.
Wow.
And like right now, they had a couple of different ransom notes come through. They thought that one might be legit. However, it looks like the Guthrie family has opted not to pay that ransom note. There was a ransom note sent to two TV stations in Arizona. It specified that it would like $4 million to be paid in Bitcoin by February 5th. And that time
that expired.
If they didn't pay it by then, the amount would increase to $6 million and it needed to be paid by 5 p.m. yesterday. And authorities say they don't believe that the Guthrie family has paid that ransom.
And I thought I saw something yesterday that there was a follow-up on that $6 million and it was from a different IP address.
Yes. So it's a little bit confusing what's going on. Authorities have now researched Nancy's home again, and they're looking at Annie Guthrie, the sister. They've searched her home as well, because that was, the last place that she had dinner. So they're just doing all they can. Meanwhile, at the Today Show, Hoda Kotb has joined once again, filling in for Savannah while her mother is missing. Hoda said that we're a family, and I'm a part of that family, and I'm happy to be here because family shows up for each other. So.
Well, and you consider that this missing person case has the full force of NBC television behind it.
Right?
Like, there, no stone should be unturned at this point.
Exactly.
Everyone should know what's going on in that community.
Right. And it still seems rather mysterious, and we don't have any leads, and police are still searching and asking for any help. If you have any information, please contact the local authorities there. So just weird that it's still going on, mm-hmm. with really no development in the story. And it's over a week now. Chapel Roan has decided to leave her management agency that was led by CEO Casey Wasserman after she found out that Casey Wasserman had a connection to the Epstein files and Ghislaine Maxwell. She said no artist, agent, employee should ever be expected to defend or overlook actions that conflict so deeply with our own moral values, and I refuse to passively stand by. It's just, you know, I don't know what she goes to next, but Wasserman was a chairperson for the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles, represents Ed Sheeran and Coldplay and Imagine Dragons and Casey Musgraves and Lord and Pharrell. Billie Eilish actually left the agency 2 years ago after Casey Wasserman was accused of having an inappropriate relationship with some employees at the agency.
I would like to see more artists make a stand like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Prove I know. That point.
Like, good for you, Chapel. Just, we'll see if anybody else follows suit. Timothée Chalamet is taking some heat. He was doing an interview, and it's kind of cool. He is bilingual, so he was speaking in French, but it has been translated, and people aren't really liking the translation. He said, I know it's not normal to talk about yourself like this, and I know I'm pretty unique talent, but it's because I work, honestly. I work harder than almost everyone I know. I have an athlete's mindset in how I work, and people can make fun, they can laugh. I don't care. I'm the one doing it, and that is how it works. He is the hardest working person that he knows.
Is he? That's Marty Supreme talking.
Yes, I know. That's what I thought too.
That's that character's MO.
Are you for real? Like, you have a lot of people that help you out, right? You have a personal stylist. You have makeup people. You have a chef.
You have money, so you're working hard. Nobody's doubting that.
No, absolutely.
But so is everybody else in that business.
Exactly. Exactly. And maybe just because your work isn't the exact same, they're still working hard too. So little blowback for Marty Supreme, Timothée Chalamet. I don't know who was
speaking there.
Who was that?
Was that Marty?
Hmm.
Or was that Timothy?
Timmy? Marty? Which one is it? That's what we like to call.
Z's Sleaze.
It was great. We got a conversation with Dane Cook in. He's headed to Riverside Casino and Golf Resort this Friday, which is perfectly timed with the Valentine's holiday, is it not?
I think that's exactly how you posed the question to him.
Yeah. Right?
Like, why go for Valentine's?
We have an interesting, like, stack of events, right? We've got the Super Bowl. You're here the day before Valentine's Day.
Yes.
In fact, your show might be like a Valentine's gift, a pre-Valentine's gift for lots of couples.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah, okay, okay. What can people expect from this show?
This is my favorite thing about the routine I brought on the road for the last year plus is, you know, I got married a couple of years ago, and a lot of comedians, and I feared this, like early in my career, I was like, when I get married someday, I don't want to be the comic that's like, you know, in that sort of genre of take my wife, please, or like, I'm just the idiot schlub who doesn't know how to do anything anymore. I was like, I hope that's not what comedy needs to sort of evolve into. And so when I got married, I love being married, and the whole sort of like angle of my routine is when I'm going up there, I'm talking about all the foolishness and the stupidity of still being single, and I'm talking about how, even in hindsight, kind of taking the piss out of myself a little bit and my own ignorance, and coming at it like, man, all the things I was missing that you don't get until you're married. I think it kind of boils down to, like, have you seen comedians when they go up there and they go like, all the married people applaud, and then all the single people. And when the single people go crazy, that comic goes, well, we know who the happy people are in the room.
Yeah.
I think by the time my show ends, the single people are going to feel like losers, and the married people are going to feel like the big winners of the night. And that's probably been the most fun with this new routine.
I love hearing that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That excites me a lot.
Woo! It's a little bit different, right?
Marriage!
He's right. There are some of those things that maybe are a little stilted, and let's change it.
As he's describing, we've all seen that comic who does that type of bit, or we've also watched the sitcom where it's like the dumb dad with the hot wife.
Yes, always.
Do you think, before we get to his last set of comments, he had to have been offered sitcoms?
Had to have been.
Back in his heyday?
Absolutely.
And I think he had never wanted to typecast himself, because he could have gone a lot of, and at that time he was single, but it's just, once he said that, I could just see like any of the major networks. This is also, remember, the height of his career was pre-streaming.
Exactly.
So if you made it, you were just on a network show.
And, you know, top of the world for him, like all of those albums and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got really into those.
You are a huge fan.
I mean, summer, I want to say 2007, 2008, like, I was listening to Dane Cook hardcore.
I think we got time for about one more, Claire.
Can I just ask, because I have, like, I think Vicious Circle, like, summer of 2007, 2008, I don't remember. But, like, my friends and I would drive around in our car and not be listening to music. We'd be listening to you and like, all of your jokes. Do people, I imagine, come up to you and, like, hit you with one of your own punchlines? And, like, what's the most common thing that you hear?
Yeah, so people, for the most part, when I'm out, somebody will come up and, let's say, I don't know, I'm ordering food somewhere, and people will go, man, I recognized your voice. So that's the first thing. And then sometimes they'll get like, man, you look like an old Dane Cook, which is actually a little bit more interesting.
Why, thank you.
But they recognize the voice, and then I think the go-to, I think more than anything, it's got to be the B&E bit.
Yes!
Yes, B&E, people just say to me, people just yell at me sometimes when they see me, they'll go, B&E, and I think that's the one that probably more than anything has stood the test of time. There's one other one, but I don't know if I can say it on the radio.
The friend that nobody likes.
Okay, no, that's good too. I would like to put that a close second,
because
the one that I won't say has to do with the coats. Do you know the bit about the coats?
Yes, I think I know where you're going here. Yep. No, please don't.
If I could erase one bit from history of my own, it would be that, just because it's, you know, when you're out with some friends and it's a nice relaxing night, you don't want the key line from that piece of material being yelled at you from across the room. So that's the only one that I would put the kibosh on.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God.
Dane, you've been so generous with your time. We really love having this time to talk to you. We know there are very limited seats available. Riverside Casino and Golf Resort this Friday, February the 13th. You'll take the stage at 8 o'clock. We'll give you a great Iowa welcome. We can't wait to welcome you to America's Heartland. Thanks for taking time with the Morning Scramble this morning.
I can't wait to come back through, and it would be remiss if I didn't say I always put on the next big superstars that are on my show. I had Matt Rife on tour with me for the 4 years before Matt Rife became the Matt Rife that is like eclipsing comedy. I've got an incredible comedian that everyone's going to know, everyone's going to love. His name's Drew Dunn. And if you haven't seen Drew Dunn already, please come out and see the show. We're going to have a great time, Drew, myself, and hopefully you guys at the gig.
Oh, my gosh. What a cool, classy way to go. Thank you, Dane.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks,
Dane.
Bye.
I kept that on there.
You kept me freaking out. Oh my God, maybe it's time to make cook.
What I love, though, now is people are going to be searching B&E. They're going to be searching, what is it, the jerk friend?
It's the friend that nobody likes.
And then coats. Just what, Dane Cook coats? Is that what I want to look up?
Well,
on which computer? My work computer or my home computer?
I just did it at work. I got to go to HR.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Drew Dunn, the opener, Dane Cook, your headliner, all taking place on stage this Friday night, Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Tickets still on sale.
Tell us your story. It's Songversations with the Morning Scramble on Z102.9.
Music's so important.
Oh, absolutely.
Getting you through your workday, getting you through your workout. A song takes you back to a time and place like that.
Yes, it can elevate a moment. So we're thinking about moments in time. And one of the big moments right now is the Olympics, the 2026 Games going on in Italy.
The Olympics, of course, utilize the national anthem of the winner, right? On the
sure.
on the podium. You only get the gold medal winner.
It's like representing your country, and the gold medal winner gets to have their country's anthem played. But we were wondering, what if it was a different kind of Winter Games, and you got a gold medal, and you got to play whatever song you wanted to.
So, we take you to the Olympic Village now, in a big, I don't know if we're in an arena, I don't know where your sport is yet, maybe we're outdoors. But Claire, you have just won a gold medal in what category?
Okay, I went back and forth on this because I think there are a number of different winter categories that I excel at. One of them being making paper snowflakes. I'm very good at this, and it's a lost art. I don't feel like a lot of people know this about me.
I have never seen you once get out paper and scissors.
I know. It's not something that I need to do a lot, but when it is called upon, I rise to the occasion.
But that is not your category?
No. I've decided to go with the day-to-day, the mundane. The dog needs a walk. It is February. No one wants to walk the dog, but I bravely step forward.
Yes.
And I walk that dog.
Yes.
All the way around the block.
Wow.
Gold medal around my neck. And I want to hear, Florence and the Machine, dog days are over.
That's your family in the corner just crying for you right now.
Yeah, Cora, eat it.
Whoa, your competitors were your family members?
Yeah, they were, absolutely. Any one of them could have jumped up, but I rose to the occasion. I got it done.
Anybody make the medal stand or just you?
Just me.
Did you take gold, silver, and bronze in winter dog walking?
Winter dog walking. I got gold medal and bronze. It was just me. Woo! Thank you, thank you. And they're cheering me. They're cheering, yeah, Mom.
I'm excited to be part of that moment.
Yeah, thank
you. I can see you there.
Thank you. Yeah,
yes.
It was a big moment. Mostly for me, a little bit for my family.
Claire, I just took home gold.
You did?
I did.
Dance and E, what did you do?
I just took home gold, Claire, in the backyard biathlon.
What did you have to do in the biathlon?
Now, the real biathlon, you ski and you shoot things.
Yeah.
In Dance and Eric Hansen's backyard biathlon, you have to make a fire, and then you get to make s'mores.
Wow.
I just meddled in the backyard biathlon.
And you roll out Michael Scott?
Yes. He's in person playing on a steel drum right now. And then as the crowd goes wild, that's my gold medal song.
And then he's joined by many, many kettle drums.
Do y'all have those like Caribbean shirts on with the big sleeves?
Yes.
We start to conga around the arena.
Oh, you leading with your gold medal?
Yeah. All right. You and I have both taken home. Well, you took home gold, silver, and bronze.
Well,
for dog walking.
I don't do anything halfway, man. I go all the way.
I have just won the backyard biathlon. I made a fire and I made s'mores.
Wow.
Yeah.
What can't he do?
A lot.
I don't want to look at that list. We're not talking about that list.
But we're celebrating what we can do, Claire.
The things that are possible. The winter games that we could actually score a gold medal in.
How about you? Songversations. You are on that Olympic podium. You just won in what category? And instead of our national anthem, you get to pick your personal Olympic anthem.
What song would you want playing as you took home the gold?
Let us know at 200-1029.
Talking about music, memories, and life. It's Songversations with the Morning Scramble on Z102.9.
Songversations with an Olympic overlay, if you will. We are asking, if you win gold in the Olympics, Winter Olympics, any Olympics, what was the category? And let's not play the national anthem. You get to pick your Olympic theme.
Whatever Olympic theme you want. I mean, and it's your moment. What is the category, and then what is the song?
I was gold medal winning backyard biathlonist.
What's the backyard biathlon?
You got to make a fire and make s'mores, and I took gold, and I play hot, hot, hot. Claire, what's your category?
Well, I think mine would be...
Hold on, Michael Scott, we're done, dude.
My category would be walking the dog in the winter months because nobody else in my family will do it. Just me. As the competitor, I would have placed gold, silver, and bronze.
All three.
And we would play Florence and the Machine. The dog days are over.
All right. Well, we're in a new competitive arena. Producer Ben has entered
Ben's
the competition.
Here?
Ben
Hello.
Is
wait,
here.
Wait, Producer Ben. Whoa.
I'm sorry. Gold medal award winning.
Thank you very
producer
much.
Producer Ben.
A hush has fallen on the arena.
Ben, what did we just witness?
What do you mean?
What was your competition?
Oh, well, I'm a professional chip eater. I can eat a full family sized bag in one sitting.
Oh, that's actually super gross.
So...
A full family size.
So I'm going with chip speed eating.
Whoa.
Okay.
Now picture this.
Okay.
I plop down in the recliner. Uh-huh. As soon as I do that, my song plays. And I just go to town on those chips as fast as I can.
This motivates him to do his competition, and then he plays it once he's won the competition.
But I don't want to be a part of the after party when Ben starts laughing and then projectile vomiting.
You do have a particular set of
You've
skills.
You've got a bad track record.
Bad track record.
Nacho cheese Doritos I'll take.
Oh, family-sized bag of nacho cheese Doritos.
Ben,
absolutely.
Polishes it all off.
Wow.
He feels good.
This is such a beautiful moment to witness in Winter Olympic history.
It is.
Wow.
Not to be outdone.
Nope.
We need to go to the outdoor course because one Dane Cook has just won an Olympic medal. So the other thing, guys, you're coming out of a Super Bowl weekend. You're going into Valentine's weekend. Then you've got the overlay of the Olympics. We're asking a question on the radio this week, if you wouldn't mind a very quick play along. You
Let's
just
go.
Won a medal at the Winter Olympics. First question, what did you medal in, Dane? Mm-hmm. And then if you could pick any song, not the national anthem, but any song, what would you play as your victory song?
Okay, so wait a second. So first of all, can I win a medal in something that is not already an actual event, or should I be winning something that's yeah. like currently
you
trending?
You should make it up. Make the event up.
What would Dane Cook get a gold medal in?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to say congratulations to Team USA. We just won for tobogganing. I don't think there's any better feeling than, you know, me and my team on that five-person toboggan, just tobogganing down that hill and tobogganing ourselves to victory. Thank you. Go Team USA.
And what song is playing Yay! In the background during your toboggan speech?
I think that the song playing has to be, oh my goodness, there's a couple going through my head. I go with... man.
Sorry, put you on the
spot. By Muse, Survival by Muse.
Muse, okay. Oh, yeah.
Survival. Okay.
Love it. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for playing along. It was kind of a silly, stupid question.
Muse Survival is his gold medal song.
Hit it. Now, this screams toboggan.
That is a toboggan yes! gold medal song right there.
There's no more toboggany song than Muse Survival.
That is how you play Songversation this week. Why don't you join Woo! Along, have some fun with us. Call in 200-1029. What category did you just win in the Olympics? And what is your gold medal song? Let us know on the request line at 200-1029 for Songversation.
This is the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble.
On Z102.9.
The Morning Scramble Readers Theater presents The Brokenhearted Dialogues. Today's story submitted by a listener, Missy. Twice brokenhearted. After losing her father to Parkinson's dementia and enduring profound grief, she discovered her fiancé, whom she relied on as her emotional anchor, had been secretly pursuing dozens of other women, compounding her loss with devastating betrayal.
I'll start by saying this plainly. 2025 broke me. My dad's Parkinson's dementia worsened, and as his sole caregiver, I watched the strongest man I know slowly disappear. By June, he was gone. And through it all, I believed I had a rock, my fiancé, Bill.
There, sweetheart. I got your back and your front, honk, honk.
Stop it! I needed Bill's support more than I ever had before. I was still caring for my mom, still showing up when I had nothing left to give. But I felt like we were in it together. That belief was what carried me through the worst days. I told myself 2026 would be my year, a year of healing, a year of rebuilding. And then his old phone wouldn't stop ringing.
It's for work.
But even after Bill got a new phone, the old one kept lighting up. And when I looked, I realized his Facebook hadn't been logged out of, and I was shattered. Whatever was left of my heart, dating messages, matches, conversations, women, plural, reaching out and being contacted back.
Hey, how you doing? Great to hear from you. If I told you you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me?
While I was grieving my father, while I was holding my family together, while I believed I wasn't alone, I was wrong. So here I am, brokenhearted twice. I lost my first love, the man I grew up loving, the best dad I could have ever asked for. And then I lost the man who promised to stand beside me when life got hard. Because he didn't like me sad. So instead of holding me, he stepped out. And not with one woman, not with two. The current count is over 30.
I have a real hard time knowing when to quit.
This isn't just a broken heart. It's betrayal layered on grief. It's trust shattered when I was already on my knees. It's discovering the person you leaned on was quietly letting go the whole time.
Can a twice broken heart survive this magnitude of damage? You've been listening to Twice Broken Hearted from listener Missy as part of our Broken Hearted Dialogue series with the Morning Scramble Readers Theater. Until next time, my friends.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9.
Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.